If you have your Bibles, may I encourage you to turn to Matthew. We have been working through in the month of January, looking at our different values here as a body. And may I encourage you to keep that sheet that was in your bulletins towards the beginning of January. And if you need a sheet, please get a hold of the office. They'd be glad to get you one. But it talks about your vision and your mission and your values, who you are. And all that came from your stickies that you had put together last year. And the team worked through that. And so we've been working through unity and what the Bible says about unity. And we've been looking at getting a clear understanding of biblical unity. This morning, I would like us to move on to another value, a value of yours that has jumped out at the pages as well, and that value is outreach. And again, it came out really clear from your stickies over and over and over of how important outreach is to this body. And it was defined this way: we follow Christ. Calling to reach the spiritually lost and are committed to serving the people in the surrounding community and beyond. So what does the Bible have to say about this value? We want to take a look at that through the month of February. You have a unique opportunity. Family Day is coming up on the 17th. May I encourage you to sign up in between the little hallway that goes to the gym. There's a sign-up sheet there. There's also directions. It's a great time to come. Lots of people there. I know that Hank has been working on a toboggan hill. It's pretty steep. So come for those. You're going to want to try that out. But invite your friends. It's a great time to invite your friends and to encourage them to come out. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew. In your bulletins, if you want to take some notes, there's an outline there. May I encourage you to follow along. We're going to look at the Great Commission. We're going to look at verses 18 through 20 as we open up God's Word here. And often these verses are referred to as the Great Commission because they're very significant. They are the foundational texts for the mission of the church and the spread of the Christian faith. And these verses, they capture the essence of Jesus' instruction to his disciples following his resurrection and prior to his ascension to heaven. That's the context that was taking place. After the crucifixion and the resurrection, Jesus Christ appeared to his disciples in Galilee. And let us pick this up here in Matthew 28. Let's go to verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I will be with you always to the rest of the age," or to the end of the age. Jesus appeared to his disciples in Galilee. They had gone there because Jesus had instructed them to go there. And the disciples who had witnessed the Lord's death and their teacher, they were now confronted with the presence of his resurrection. And we see that in verse 17. "And when they saw him, they worshiped him." This command, as we go through it, was given by Jesus not merely as a new assignment, but a continuation of his earthly ministry. which was now to be carried out by his followers. And this is what Jesus was asking of his disciples, and is what he's asking of us. As believers, we are called to follow this command and to share the great message of salvation. It's a message that many Christians don't understand. Or it's a message that maybe we do understand, but we're unwilling to fulfill it. Sometimes as Christians, we think very little about our mission in this world. And we focus a lot on our personal needs. One of the commentators really stressed this over and over. The only reason that the Lord allows his church to remain on earth is to seek and to save the lost. Just as Christ's only reason for coming to this earth was to seek you and I, to seek the lost and to save the lost. You see, fellowship and teaching and praise are not the mission of the church, but rather it's the preparation of the church to fulfill the mission of winning the lost. Those are important. Those are what we get as we get built up on Sundays. But they're not the mission of the church. It's tragic that so many Christian churches are preoccupied with trivial things. Sometimes we're so fascinated with the process that we have no thoughts on the end goal. Sometimes we're so preoccupied with the spiritually insignificant that we have no time nor commitment to reaching those that don't know Christ. The early church, as recorded in Acts, took this commission very seriously. And they were dispersed because of what was happening in Jerusalem. And they spread the gospel from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth. As we look at these verses, Jesus gives us some clear elements that are necessary for us to reach this goal, are necessary for us to understand. They're commands. They're not suggestions. So let me just read it again, starting off at verse 18. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I will be with you always, to the very end of the age." The first thing that we see that comes out in verse 18 is authority. Authority. Before the Lord states this great commission, this command, he establishes his divine authority to command it. You see that in verse 18. It's because of his sovereign power that his followers, his disciples, you and I, are to have the attitude to humble ourselves to his will. Jesus Christ has all authority, and we can obey him without fear. No matter where he leads us, no matter what the circumstances we face, he's in control. By his death and resurrection, Jesus had defeated all of the enemies, and he has won for himself all authority. He's with you, just as Jim was talking about, every step of the day, every place you go, he's with you. You see, without verse 18, the command would seem hopeless to fulfill. But with it, we can reach the end goal. You see, submission to his absolute sovereignty of Jesus Christ is not an option, but our obligation. It's not negotiable or adjustable to our own feelings or plans. When God lays something on our hearts, we need to move that way. It's an attitude that says, whatever the Lord commands, I will do. You see, our Lord's death on the cross was for the whole world. And so if we're a child of God, we will want to tell the good news to the lost world. We don't face the lost world on our own authority. This is very important for us to understand. But on the authority of Jesus Christ. And that comes out strongly in verse 18. We see the next thing that comes out is obedience, 19 through 20. In light of his absolute sovereign authority, Jesus says to us, go and make disciples of all nations. Jesus is saying, I have authority to command you to be my witness and the power to enable you to obey that command. We don't do it on our own strength. And we don't do it in our own authority, but through Jesus Christ. The term disciples was a popular name for early believers. And a disciple meant more than being a convert or a church member. The root meaning of disciple refers to believing and learning. And in the context, it relates to those who have placed their trust in Jesus Christ and followed him with lives that are continually learning and obeying. Each one of us are in a different place as we are walking with the Lord. Discipleship involves more than mere conversion. It's a lifelong process of learning and growing in the teachings of Jesus. And the call to make disciples of all nations highlights the fact that this is universal. And this was powerful for the disciples. They probably didn't fully understand what this meant until things kept on moving and God was moving in a powerful way. But it went beyond the Jews. It went into the Gentiles. It breaks down ethnic and cultural and social barriers. You see, the message of Jesus Christ is for everyone. And those of us who have become his disciples are to become disciple makers. And you will see that in your values as well. The mission of the early church was to make disciples so that it still is the mission of the church today. However, we have kind of, at times in churches, have departed from this pattern. In a lot of churches, the congregation will pay a pastor to preach. They will pay him to win the loss, build up the saved, while church members function as cheerleaders or spectators. The converts are won, they're baptized, they're given the right hand of fellowship, and then they join the other spectators. How fast and how quick our church bodies would grow. How much stronger we would be if each church member were discipling another believer. Jesus' command for those who are disciples to become his instruments for making disciples of all nations. This is the responsibility of every believer. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, whether you are young, whether you're a teenager, college, middle age, senior, it's for each one of us. We have a responsibility. It's not just for the selected that have been called to go. Each one of us has been called to go. It doesn't need to be awkward, as one person has said to me many times. We need to just learn to share our faith. Sometimes we don't even have to say anything, but by our actions it models it. This is what you have with your new mission. Your new mission statement that comes out. And you'll start seeing it more and more on the slides before the service starts. What difference are we trying to make? What difference do you want to make as FBC? Purposely creating a community where we pursue Jesus together. For what people? Who? By inviting our neighbors to join us in following Jesus and becoming more like Him. How are we going to do that? Through the use of our spiritual gifts, talents, abilities, and resources. And by working on this, you're working towards your vision, following Jesus together. Notice that Jesus only said once to make disciples. Because it's natural for new creation to be reproductive. We want to share and need to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. In the discipling process, Jesus laid out here real quickly, baptizing them. Baptism was a symbol initiating into the Christian community. It was an outward expression of an inward faith, a public declaration of our allegiance to Christ. It meant a lot during the time of Jesus as he walked this earth. It meant a great deal when Jesus ascended and the disciples carried on the message. At times it's lost its meaning in our Western world. Back in biblical times, when they were baptized by water, as they were initiated into the community, Christian community, people were watching. As soon as they got done, they were often arrested. The Jews had a list of the Christians because the Romans didn't know what to do with them, and so they put them together. The Jews didn't like that. They didn't want to be associated with Christians. They were not the same. And so the Jews had a list. Hence, when you come into Acts and you see the disperse of the Christians. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, Jesus here is reflecting the fullness of God's nature and the unity of the Godhead. Each one has an important piece to play. Jesus also goes on and he says, teach them. It's another critical component of the Great Commission. Jesus instructs his disciples to teach new believers to observe all that he has commanded. And you see that in verse 20. The teachings of Jesus, as recorded in the Gospels, provides a good blueprint for Christian living. And you see that as you're doing this, as we're working this through, the power of Jesus' presence. He says this in the first part of 20, and behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. This assurance is source of comfort and strength for believers. We share our faith, not in our authority, but in Jesus Christ. We don't do it in our power, but only Jesus Christ. When God opens the doors and you go, oh no, what am I going to say? May I encourage you, say a quick prayer. Ask the Lord for help. He will move in a powerful way. Look at the last part of 20. We see here a very powerful thing, and that is power. Surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. One commentator put it this way. Jesus was saying, in effect, now pay special attention to what I'm about to say, because it's the most important of all. I myself, your divine, resurrected, living, eternal Lord, am with you always, even to the end of the age. This latter part of this verse assures us as believers that we're never alone as we fulfill the call to make disciples. Our world is marked by division and conflict. People are spiritually searching, and this message that we have of hope and reconciliation that's only found in Christ is desperately needed. People are looking all over. The call to make disciples is not limited to pastors, to missionaries, but it's a mandate for every follower of Christ. Every single one of you who knows Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's a mandate for you. The Great Commission invites FBC to reflect on its practices and priorities. It's a challenge. It challenges you at FBC to move beyond mere church attendance and programs. It's so exciting to see the seed that's been planted and has been growing and now is coming out on February the 14th. What an incredible opportunity. If you know kids in grades 4, 5, and 6, may I encourage you to encourage them to come. Invite your friends. Bring them. They may hear the gospel. Invite your friends to family day. Good food, good fun, good toboggan hill. Hopefully no broken legs or arms, but good times. The phrase end of the age indicates that our Lord has a plan. He is the Lord of history. And as churches follow his leading and obey his word, we fulfill his purpose in this world. It's a powerful piece for us to grab hold of. We need to all be faithful in this journey. The task is still incomplete. There are still people that do not know about Jesus Christ, and Scripture tells us that the Lord won't return until they do. May I leave this question with you as we wrap up this morning? What are you doing to carry out his last command? What are you doing to carry out his last command? Let me just pray as the team comes forward and finishes off. Lord, we just thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the message that you have for us. Lord, may you just use each one of us in your special way. Lord, may you move in us. May we speak with your authority. May we have confidence because of your power. Lord, use us, I pray. In your name, amen.